All right, Kate, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This episode solidified two new characters pairing up who have never paired up before on the show, other than that dumb time when they kissed in the hot tub, which was stupid. This show is coming to an end. Are there any other characters that you would like to see hook up before the show ends its run?
I would like to see M Moose and me.
Are you a character on Riverdale?
Louis, surprise!
I had no idea.
I know I've been really playing the long con here.
Who are you on Riverdale?
I just play me.
Oh, you're just Kate Vatter?
Yeah, it's interesting how
Yeah,
they wrote me
it's.
into the show because it is like a time jump to the past, but they're just going with it.
You wouldn't think that they would have such a absolutely critical of all the other characters character on the show, calling out all their dumb moves every single time.
But I wouldn't say that to their faces.
No, only to me. That's why you have this podcast.
I would be,
You need
yeah,
the outlet.
I mean, I would certainly say it to other students, but like, whispered behind their back.
Yeah, like, wow, that Kevin Keller, what a doof.
Yeah.
Falling for organ trading scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would get in trouble for passing a note that says, like, Kevin Gay, but I would get in trouble like not for passing the note, but for like bringing up something that's against everyone's morals.
Yes, against the norms. Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Gay, check yes or no. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think if I'd like to see anybody hook up that hasn't hooked up yet. Maybe Fangs and Moose.
Well, but they have hooked up.
Did Fangs and Moose hook up? I don't even remember that. When did that happen?
Around the time of baby Anthony.
Oh, baby Anthony, good God. Remember all that?
Someone said I saw on Facebook, someone said they call it baby Anthony because it's named after Tony's grandfather, whose name is Anthony, and so there was like Grandpa Anthony and baby Anthony, but I
Oh,
still
that's
don't buy it.
cool.
That's
That's
cool.
cool that they like didn't fucking explain that at all.
Yeah, because it also like I feel like context matters. Like if someone said you need to change Anthony's diaper, I wouldn't be like, oh, which one? Well, maybe I would. I don't know what her grandpa's up to, but
Sure, yeah. He could be requiring care.
yeah, but like,
But
oh, Anthony's crying in his crib, I'd be like, that's the baby one. You didn't
that's
tell me.
right. That's not Grandpa Anthony. Yeah. well, I forgot that had happened. Maybe then I'd like to see Moose and Dilton hook up. Yeah, because in the comics they're besties, and I always imagined that they were, on the side, fooling around with each other. So, roll the theme song. Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of
XOXO
XOXO Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
This is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast where we talk about the show Riverdale, a show that's surprisingly still on the air, but not for long. Soon it will be gone. Today we're talking about Chapter 121, Love and Marriage. But before we get into it, do we have any big Riverdale fan news this week, Kate?
No.
No, nothing's going on. Nothing that we've noticed with the cast. No new pregnancy announcements, except for the one that was done in this episode, which also felt like SpawnCon. I'm joking. It did not feel like SpawnCon. SpawnCon
It's
for
Big
frogs.
Frog.
Yeah. Big Frog got its flippers on this episode. Well, let's talk about this episode then. Let's get into it. We don't have a lot of news.
Yeah, so, I want to say right off the bat.
Did you like it?
I liked it okay.
Okay.
Right off the bat, they allude to Dr. Curdle Sr. and then don't follow through.
I know. Or perhaps it would have been Dr. Curdle Jr.
Still?
In 1955?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know what happened to Sr. I mean, although they have brought back all the parents and all that.
Yeah.
All that stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah, but the timeline's weird, so maybe it would still be Jr. You're right.
Yeah, maybe it would be Jr., maybe Sr. Yeah, so yeah, you liked it okay. I mean, I thought this was the first episode of this season that felt a little like they were drawing it all out.
Yeah, there was. I did write the same thing twice in my notes, and I was like, oh, so they're just kind of repeating themselves.
Yeah, but. Yeah, that maybe there wasn't quite enough plot in this one
to
serve an entire episode.
Yeah.
That being said, the plot that happened, I enjoyed. I thought this was an interesting episode. Thought that what I wanted to start with, just overall, is that most of the motivations and most of the inciting incidents that were happening in this episode revolved around two different characters who were trying to avoid admitting that they are queer. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. And I thought a good take on Kevin and Cheryl. So I thought that was okay.
I thought it was interesting how orange Archie's hair was. Suddenly, like halfway through the episode, too.
Yeah. I noticed that as well. Suddenly orange standing beside me.
Yeah. Just. What did I write about things?
I have something.
Okay. Yeah. What's your thing?
Just, I don't know if you agree with this. So I want your take on it. I actually think, regarding Cheryl, that this is the most complex and with the most depth that perhaps she has ever been written on the show.
I agree.
To bring that up. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, she is sympathetic. She is looking out for herself, but cares about how other people feel about her.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. This is some good Cheryl here. Very into this. Really happy to see material that's worthy of the fact that Madeline Petch is great.
Yeah. It did feel like they kept trying to set up that Cheryl, I mean, that not that Cheryl's pregnant, but that they think Cheryl's pregnant. And that's why they want them to get married. And then it just kept being like, no, they think they should get married because they had sex.
Yes. They think they should get married because they quote unquote went all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which Cheryl thought would be fixing something that happened, which is that her mom was afraid mm-hmm. that she was gay.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't fix it because it turns out that these people, very much like a whole bunch of the United States right now, just aren't really into sex at all with anyone. Just don't think it's a good thing.
Nope.
Yep. Don't understand how people can approach it from a healthy way.
Yeah, because then, like, when we later find out that Midge is pregnant, they just, like, push Fangs out. And I know that Fangs is, you know, a greaser and certainly a worse image than Archie. But
yeah,
it is, like,
and a person of color as well. It's definitely, there's a racial element as well, yeah.
Yeah, but it is, like, that story makes more sense for forced marriage for me. I mean, none of it makes sense, but I think you know what I mean.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, you're not advocating for forcing people to get married.
I actually am.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Kate. It's been a big 180 over here.
This is going to become a real political point counterpoint show, our last season of XOXO Riverdale here.
I'm going to take a hard turn right.
More like Kate anti-vaxxer.
Oh my God. I thought it was interesting that Betty just straight up outed Kevin to Alice.
Yes, that was certainly the part of the episode that didn't work properly for me.
It felt dangerous.
Hugely.
They didn't follow through with that danger.
Yes, this is a bit of a bigger conversation that I have been thinking about lately when it comes to media and the way that it is portraying people from the past is it is eliminating the hurtful language that was used all the time. You don't think that the F word was getting, you know, bounced around in the 50s by all the boys in the locker room, you know, like, and this is a lot of period pieces are doing this. And I understand why. They don't want anybody currently watching to be hurt or triggered, but there is something somewhat sloppy and foolhardy to think that specifically the character of Alice, who we've seen be very conservative over this season, wouldn't like go fully conniption on Kevin Keller if he is gay and she learns it through her girlfriend, you know, or through her daughter.
When Hulu and Netflix were going to start pulling episodes of 30 Rock for blackface, Tina Fey was said that like she was okay with it because she was like, I know we're making fun of blackface and we did that like accurately to a degree, but the reason it should be pulled is that like we've moved past that, and people wouldn't be talking about blackface. They wouldn't even need to be making fun of it if they hadn't brought it up themselves. And so it feels like that's kind of what's going on with the language, which I think is fair in that sense. But then, like, I feel like people suddenly hearing those words, like, I watched the first season of The Amazing Race recently, and it was jarring to hear those words in 2023 from a show that aired in 2000.
Sure.
But I think Alice having a reaction to it is kind of different from that because it's not as, like, immediate and aggressive.
Yeah, it's more character driven.
Yeah, and you're like, you have time to kind of brace yourself for it.
Yep, but I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. And to that point, I really can't imagine that there were many spaces in small town America in the 50s in which there was dancing happening where some of the couples were straight and some of them were queer.
Yeah.
You know, that felt like they were taking some real leaps there in order to make certain soap opera-y things happen on the show when it came to Kevin and Clay, this episode. And it wasn't my fave. Betty figuring out that Kevin is gay, Kevin confiding in her, I could imagine that maybe happening. If he has this level of trust with her over this amount of time, you know, like that's fine. And her even trying to help him figure it out or help to be supportive in the only way she knows possible, I think that's actually all okay. But I think that then the addition of the conversation with the mom and everything made it like that really threw me off.
Yeah. When I saw Kevin and Clay together in the dark room, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But like once Betty like told Alice, it was like, okay, so this is now so out that it feels like we're operating in 2023 Riverdale where it's like not a problem.
Yes,
but it seems weird that like that obviously doesn't track because Kevin and Cheryl are so afraid to come out. Like there's no, they really just kind of missed it.
Yeah, they kind of didn't the rules that they laid out, they didn't follow them.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because there is a wonderful element to this season of there being a lot of tension because it is set in the 50s. And them using that fairly well, actually. So this time it did feel a little off the mark, I think, for both of us.
Yeah.
Along the point, another important point about Kevin's arc in this episode, very serious. He is wearing such a fabulous pattern jacket that I really want. That's so cool.
Did you want it because the pattern was so complicated?
Yes, I loved it.
Did he get it at Dan Flash's from the Shops of the Creek?
Maybe he did. That'd be pretty good.
Someone pointed out, I missed it. There was, at the Halloween party in Scream 6, someone was wearing a Dan Flash's t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh man.
I love how many references there were to I Think You Should Leave in that movie.
I've been so close to buying Dan Flash's like shorts to wear to softball, but
Please.
I can't bite the bullet because I don't know how they look, not great quality. And I don't want my pants to rip, but I do just, I mean, the pattern's just so complicated.
Speaking of complicated patterns, Tony, I also want to point out, had a really cool floral dress on this whole episode that I was very into. There's some good clothes this episode.
This whole season has had some good stuff.
Yes, this season has looked wonderful. Kudos
Everyone.
to the kudos to wardrobe. I think they really went all out
And for
this season.
whatever reason, I think they've tailored everything better too.
Yes, I think Betty's looking really good in her
Yeah, like it's
clothes.
not just the clothes they pick, it's the fit too.
The fits are very sharp. It's the first season was stylized, and this season is stylized. And I think the rest of this seasons were kind of whatever for the most part. Yeah, certainly felt a little more slapdash than these two seasons did. So we got Cliff Blossom back. And unsurprising to or surprising no one. He's a shitbag. He's the mayor, Mayor Blossom, and he's into McCarthy, Joseph McCarthy, who he's friends with, which is gross, and thinks that there is a big problem with Russian communist infiltration going on
In Riverdale,
in Riverdale.
certainly.
Oh, I would love it if someone ends up being a communist spy in this season.
Oh my God, yeah. If
Ethel? What if
that
Ethel's
were
parents were
Reggie is,
spies?
oh man, I know we like kind of joked about Reggie leading a Russian Revolution because that's what he did in History of the World, but would love for that to really carry over.
Yeah, that Reggie's actually a communist sympathizer. And then Archie responded with, that's a big problem. Oh no, I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh no.
I thought one of my favorite things is that when Jughead punched Julian,
Yes.
he put up like true fisticuffs first.
Yes.
Like it
Yes.
was not a modern punch,
It was
that's for sure.
not. It was not. There are scenes from the Archie's cartoon from the 60s where Jughead does that, where he's boxing and he puts up fisticuffs like that. And I'm wondering if it was a very quick nod to that. And it felt like the way Jughead would punch someone, right?
It felt like Cole thought it would be funny, and he was right.
Yes,
But it does.
it was a great flourish.
Yeah. Who was gonna get? I wrote makeover montage, and I don't remember why. Was someone about to get a big like makeover montage?
It didn't happen.
Yes. Oh, it was fangs. When
Yes.
Tony was like, "You gotta like tone it down and like dress peppier," I was like, "Makeover
Yeah,
montage!" And then there wasn't
absolutely.
one.
No, but once again, the suit that they had fangs in at the end of the episode was just fab. Was great. It was really, really, really good. So Unchained Melody appears three times in this episode. And the most famous version of Unchained Melody is by the Righteous Brothers. And I was like, uh-oh, is this anachronistic? Is this not correct? Time-wise. However, Unchained Melody was released in 1955 originally. I Googled it and it charted three different times under three different singers in 1955. So it was actually a big part of the culture in 55 was that song.
That's wild.
Elvis sang it in the late 70s, in case anybody is wondering. Yes.
Because it's like an okay song. It doesn't feel like a
Yeah.
song that needs that much attention.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I don't know that it's anyone's favorite song. It might be like their wedding song, but like their favorite, I don't know.
No, that's a good point. So, the next thing that kind of we haven't really addressed yet, that I just thought was so funny, is that Juggy comes back to his train car and it's been trashed by the police, right? And Hot Dog's gone. And then Veronica later on is like, I'll handle the train car. You fi Didn't she say you find Hot Dog?
Yeah, and then he didn't.
Well, he did. Hot
He
Dog
did?
was
Okay, I
in it
don't
at
even
the end of the
remember.
episode, but it just, there was no, I guess the police had just taken Hot Dog and put him in holding.
It seems like maybe they left the door open when they
Oh,
trashed.
and Hot, yeah, but then Jughead didn't have to look for him or anything.
Well,
Like,
it's just
Jughead
that.
wasn't like, Hot Dog, we didn't see any scenes like that. Hot Dog was
Right, but
just
that doesn't mean
magically
something
back.
happened. Because, I mean, it had to have taken Veronica a while to get that complete makeover, including a
I
chandelier.
mean, we don't know. She talked to her set designer friends in Hollywood. They
And
work very quickly, Kate.
they overnighted a chandelier.
Yes, they could have overnighted. We don't know. They could have overnighted a
Apparently.
chandelier. We
But I do think that that is enough time for Jughead to go out and search for a hot dog.
that is true. Yeah, it maybe happened overnight. That is true. Here's another question I have for you. Because Ethel is now at Sisters of Quiet Mercy. Is this going to put that re like actually very fun, very goofy comic book subplot just completely on the back burner now for the season? Now that Ethel, yeah, what a shame, because like I'd love to see more of that editor, like, you know, yelling at them and giving them a hard time in the fast-paced world of comic books, you know?
Yeah, I felt like too, like Alice ships her off after Ethel takes the fall for having the
Sex book.
thing. Yeah, but like there's no moment of Betty being like, you didn't have to take the fall for me, or thank you for taking the fall for me, or anything. Like it was just like Ethel did it for reasons. I
Yeah,
don't.
apparently it's out of Betty's control.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I was thinking too, are they going to break Ethel out of Sisters of Quiet Mercy? But we already had an episode where that happened, where someone gets broken out of Sisters of Quiet Mercy. So I don't know necessarily if I want to see that again. So just, you know, something I was thinking about.
If they do do it, there will be a lot of really close-up shots that are jarring and back and forth, and it seems like maybe the actors have not seen each other in months.
Was when they broke, no, I think that was another episode, the boob window episode. That was a different one than when they broke her out of Sisters of Quiet Mercy.
No,
Boob
boob
window.
window was when they
Was
broke Cheryl.
that?
Yeah, they were breaking Cheryl out.
Yeah, and Veronica broke her out and had boob window.
Yeah, with
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes. Did Tony have boob window as well? Oh, I forgot. I need to
Yeah, they both had
listen to
boob
back
window.
episodes of our own podcast
Yeah.
to remember. God
But
forbid, like, I'm ever going to do that.
yeah. There's a Cheryl Archie scene towards the end, where it is a full close up on Archie's face, and then it cuts to a close up on Cheryl, and it is back and forth, and they are never in the shot together, and the shots are never wide. It is always so close to their face, and that can be like used as a device in like certain plot lines, but this was not one of them. It was just like very weird.
I did not notice that, but I totally trust you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was right before we saw Frank's mustache.
Oh, he's looking great. How
Best
funny
he's
is
ever
that?
looked.
Best
Best he's
he's ever
ever
looked.
looked.
Absolutely best he's ever looked with his dumb mustache. Bangs his shirt, just want to call it out. His t-shirt had famous Archie Comics character, Cosmo the Merry Martian on it. Surprise. Just loved it. Love it when Cosmo pops up on the show. Okay. Question that I don't know the answer to. The frog test.
That's real.
That's real.
That's real, and that's how pharmacists did it, and it's like how they were able to develop the current test. It's like
Gotcha.
that's That's if they were in their 30s and like it was easy to go to a doctor, that's exactly what a doctor would have done.
Injected a frog.
Yep.
How did anyone figure out that that could be a pregnancy test? Who
I
was the guy that was like, let's inject this frog with your pee?
don't know, and I don't know that I need to know.
I don't need to know either, but I thought that was wild.
Yeah, but it is what it, yeah.
And it doesn't seem to hurt the frogs.
I don't know how frogs work.
No, I guess it's okay for frogs to get injected with urine.
Yeah,
I don't
I
think it would
don't.
be good for us if we got injected with urine. I think it would make us pretty
No.
sick pretty quickly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it would.
Yeah.
But yeah, pharmacies used to just like have frogs available in them.
It's the pharmacy frog.
Yep.
But,
But
and then,
multiple because they had to be able to do like several at a time.
yeah, several at a time. Congratulations, you're with child. The frog has laid eggs.
Yeah.
That should be how people announce that they're pregnant, like on Facebook, is they should have a picture of a frog laying eggs.
Yeah, instead of like bun in the oven, it's
Yeah,
like frog legs eggs.
exactly. Like the shirts.
Yep.
Yeah. Bun in the oven. I did the basting.
Ooh.
That's the grossest. Yuck. I
Ooh.
hate it. I hate
Most
those
pregnancy
shirts.
announcements that are more than just like, oh, hey, I'm pregnant, are disgusting. There's
That's
very little
correct.
in between.
Actually, in my opinion, this is a great thing to tell our listeners, the eight people that still listen to this podcast. You ever need to do a pregnancy announcement? Don't stop it with the bullshit, you
You
know?
can, if you want to like put it on the gram, put a sonogram picture.
Love it. I'm
That's,
pregnant, exclamation point.
yep. Or like
Yeah.
a nice little picture of you and your partner smiling if you have your
Yeah.
partner with you, but it doesn't need to be a thing.
Yeah.
Also, you don't need to do a gender reveal.
Well, absolutely not. I think the
Yeah.
gender reveals are a tool of the of this weird right wing obsession with gender that's happening right now.
Yeah, there's it's always been like people wanting to know the gender, but it the reveals are burning down the country quite literally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This episode, to its credit, and I think this season in general, I've said this before, but I think this one in particular is kind of crackling, I think, with some very scary contemporary energy around what's happening politically in the country currently. And I'm into it, actually.
Too, when Mitch said she thought she was pregnant and Tony was like, I need to bring you somewhere, I know what to do. I didn't think it was going to be a pregnancy test. I thought Mitch is going to die in an abortion. And
That's what I thought as well immediately.
I think it still could happen.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too,
I
but it feels
know,
like
but I mean,
they
that
already
could be
killed
a
Midge once.
that's true, and it could be a plot that they could handle on this show, actually. They could do it. Oh, poor Midge. I hope everybody turns out okay, but stuff for women was and is very hard.
Not
So,
great.
no, not good. Not good. You know what was good though? Really horrible segue. You're gonna be mad at me. Jughead's breakfast party.
Talking about eggs.
Talk about eggs. So, best thing about Bughead so far, I think, how completely delighted she was that he made that much food for the two of them. How she was like, this is great. This is great writing on Veronica.
Being written pretty well this season.
Yeah, and you know what it is? They're not being shockingly mean for no reason, right?
Yeah.
There's all of a sudden a decency and a like general human empathy in the characters, which has been lacking in other seasons.
Yeah.
You know, really from everybody.
Everyone's music.
Veronica's not being defined by being wealthy, you know?
Everyone's motives seem clearer. And I
Yes.
think that's part of the frame is that like they feel like they don't need to get complex with people being like sex is bad. And they're right. Like you could just say that, you know, Mary's upset that Archie's having sex, and that's plenty.
Yeah, and that's something that is cool about setting it in this time period. This might have been a real good move on their part, kind of shockingly, because
Yeah.
when when they did it at the end of last season, we were like,
Yeah.
uh-oh. But this is cool. This is good Riverdale. This might be the second best season of the show.
Yeah.
We'll see how it all goes, with the third best absolutely being the superpowers season.
Yeah,
Like, come
I don't want
on.
to say too soon that it's the second best,
I know it's
but
only
so
episode
far.
four, yeah, but certainly
Yeah.
this feels a lot meatier. Yeah, which is great. Loved the reference to Fangs being compared to Richie Valens. That's a smart reference as well. Big rock and roller at the time, Latinx man, a cool example of a dude who wasn't white, like super breaking into the mainstream and people being very into him. So I thought that was really smart. Yeah. I still want to know, like, I want to know, like, I guess hot dog. He's just Jughead's dog, and it's almost like that line from Josie and the Pussycats, "Why are you here? I'm here because I was in the comics." Right? Because in the first episode of the season, when Jughead still had his awareness, had his Jughead 23 awareness, he was like, "And I'm living with Hot Dog for some reason." But now it's not like we're ever gonna learn. I guess he's just Juggy's dog.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
Hot Dog was always there.
what a cute dog he is.
Yeah, Hot Dog's great.
Yeah. Do you like him more or less than Vegas?
I do still like Vegas a little more, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas, I know, is very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Maybe Vegas will save the day.
You love to see it.
Yeah, maybe like Vegas will be back because of the time thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see him. So we've got an eloping going on.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit where I feel like the logic fell through with that plot line a bit. Because Cheryl is realizing that her plan to use Archie as a beard has backfired, right? And then she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna double down on this and elope." But I guess it's a way for her to try to escape with Archie. And Archie, once again, being written really well, just trying to do the right thing, trying to be a nice boy. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like, to be honest, if they eloped and ran out west, it would be really good for both of them. I think Cheryl, like, I think Archie would be supportive if Cheryl came out. And they'd just be like besties
I
killing
would
it, but
hope
if they
so.
have a good
Yeah.
cover, like if they need it,
Yeah.
just I think things would go really nicely for
Cheryl
them.
can go work at City Lights in San Francisco. Archie can be on a boat or some shit, whatever he wants to do, that guy. I mean, I shouldn't say that because really, KJ Apa is like a fucking delight this season. This is maybe
This is
what,
the
like,
best Archie.
I wonder if all the violent Archie stuff. I wonder if KJ was reading the scripts and being like, "This isn't the character I thought I was playing."
Yeah, this isn't what I signed up
Yeah,
for.
like I auditioned to play Archie Andrews. Like, what is this? Like, finally he's just playing Archie. Like, this is the Archie from the comics for the most part. It's perfectly nice. It fits really well in the show. I think they could have written Archie in the show earlier as being more naive, and it would have been fine instead of being an incel. Like, loving this. This is much better.
This is very nice, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad we agree on this.
Yeah.
So, Alice burned the sex book just because she's a fascist. I just want to point that out. Yeah, only fascists burn books. So, I did a little bit of light Googling that I think you'll enjoy. So that book that Tony gives Cheryl after Cheryl realizes she has some soul searching to do. So the book was called The Cost of Pepper. So it's based on an actual pulp from the 50s that's called The Price of Salt.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which I've heard
Now,
of the price of salt.
yeah, so The Price of Salt was a pulp in the 50s that was passed around to a lot of different women who maybe were having homosexual feelings, gay feelings, because it was a book that was advertised on the cover. You know, it looks like it's just another salacious sort of like lesbian pulp, which certainly existed in the 50s. There's like a sort of a menacing man in the back and then two scantily clad women on the front. That's the cover of it. But then the content is actually about two women, who one of whom is married, and they have an attraction for each other. And in the book, it's somewhat noted in kind of a coded way that, like, sometimes women feel this way, like in a way that's quite progressive for the 50s. And then the husband of the married woman starts figuring out what's happening and starts threatening to send them to jail for being gay. So they stop their relationship. But instead of the book ending on a tragic note, which most gay pulps did in the 50s, the book ends with a lot of optimism that the two of them will figure out a way to resume their relationship, which is why a lot of gay and queer women were passing it around to each other, because it almost served as a bit of a roadmap for a lot of women in the 50s. So I think that's all pretty fun little thing to have be a reference on Riverdale.
Yeah, but it's once again one of those things where, why did they go with a different, slightly off name for this thing and not the other thing?
Totally.
Like, it's not.
Yeah, they're like, it is. It feels like at this point they're like, well, let's do one of our things.
Yeah.
But like, they don't do it all the time.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's been a while since we've made something a little different. Let's
do
it.
Yeah, exactly. Like when in literally the first episode of the first season, Cheryl's like, follow me on Twitter. Like, it's like, that couldn't have been like, follow me on, you know,
Flitter.
Yeah, exactly. Follow me on Flitter, you know, like, anyway. Yeah. And the last note that I have about this episode, last little thing, is just the Jughead Ronnie kiss when they're sitting on the couch. That was all great. And I want to see this play out. And I think they're just an absolute delight together. And I think they have tons of chemistry, which I'm shocked about. Do you feel the same way?
They're great.
Yeah.
I'm all about them.
Yeah, I love this. I love that they talk about movies.
Yeah.
It's killer. This is
great.
They're
doing great. Yeah.
This is really good Veronica Jughead stuff here. And then Jughead shirt, I want it. That's a beautiful pattern shirt. Loved it. Oh, they're putting him in some great clothes.
Yep.
Gotta tell you. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of my take on this episode. Yeah, do you have anything that we didn't address?
We hit all of it.
Oh my god, we killed it.
We did.
And in a little less time than we've been doing these.
Nice. Because we're both sleepy little babies.
We are both sleepy guys. So who was on your power list?
My power list is based in like bottled in this episode and not the season arch overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Alice, Tony, Cheryl, Jughead, and Veronica.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a similar list. I have the Blossoms, because really, you know.
Yeah.
Then I have Tony. Then I have Juggy. Who's on your crush list?
I only wrote two people, and I don't know if I meant to, but it's been a couple days. So we are going with Betty and Cheryl.
Sure. I have someone on the list that's going to make you mad.
Okay.
Julian. The scuzzier Julian gets, the more I just
the more
want,
you're into it.
I want him just to take me away in his car.
Oh, man.
I know. It's just no good. That I love a smarmy redhead. And then I've got Jughead on my list and Tony on my list. Probably Jughead and Tony mainly because of their patterned clothes.
Yeah.
So, what are we up for next week? What's happening here?
Tales in a jugular vein.
Oh, boy. Is it all going to be... If it's centered around Jughead, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We didn't address that I thought was interesting.
Sure. Let's get to
it. When Jughead was getting arrested, Officer Keller did straight up just call him Jughead. And I was like, it feels like a cop would have called him Forsyth.
Yeah, Like,
That's it. That's all I have about that.
yeah, like Jughead's like, no, you're actually not allowed to call me that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we've got Tales in a Jugular Vein. That'll be fun. Maybe it'll be another anthology episode. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I, yep.
Yeah, I'd be into
Yeah.
it. Well, thank you to our editor, Anjali Mercado, who's great.
And yes, our theme song writer, Louis Aronowitz.
And thanks to everybody that's still listening. And if you have any insight or anything you want to talk to us about, feel free to tweet at us. Feel free to send us an Instagram message. And we will be happy to chat with you and bring it up on the podcast. All right. Well, for XOXO Riverdale, I'm Louis Perlman.
Okay, better.
Bye.
Bye.